Welcome to Cougar Cast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. Cougar Cast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at cougarcast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and Cougar Cast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh. The Utes.
Good week for basketball.
This is it. This year, is, as far as the rivalry goes, this is the game, right?
No football. This is the bragging rights, right?
So this is it, 100%.
The Utes care about the gymnastics match, but for real fans, this is all that anyone's talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, big game, BYU 7-2 coming in this game. Utah are ranked number 13 in the land, 6-1 on the year. Their lone loss, double overtime thriller to San Diego State. And I think that's actually a good place to start. I actually, when I think of the Utes, I sort of think they're sort of a San Diego State type team. They're excellent at defense. I don't think they're as good at defense as San Diego State, but they definitely score the ball better than San Diego State. And that's sort of what you should be thinking, though, is sort of a San Diego State type team that doesn't defend quite as well, but certainly shoots a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, and the stats back that up. Like, points allowed, their average opponent only scores 56 points against them. So that's really going to be the...
And that's 25th nationally.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really going to be the matchup to me is Utah's defense versus BYU's offense.
All right, one for Tosh. will BYU score 57 points or more?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. 70s is where we'll score.
Oh, really? I think they're going to get above 80.
If we do, we win.
Fun stat about this BYU team. This is the first team ever to reach 85 points or more in 9 consecutive games.
In BYU history?
In BYU history.
Cool. No, that's great.
So they're doing some amazing things, and they're really playing well. So let's start with the Cougars. Some overall thoughts. Obviously, BYU scores. Tyler Hawes, he scores like he breathes, right? And it's just one of those things. I was just explaining to Tosh, I hope that Hawes is getting appreciated by Cougar fans. I understand that he probably won't receive like the Jimmer Mania type treatment, and maybe he shouldn't. But maybe this game, if he goes out and has a massive game against the Utes, things will go really well for him and his legend will grow. But he doesn't really do things on the floor that make people, like, overall excited. He's a guy that at the end of the game you go, oh, 30 points. Oh, how about that? You know what I mean? Like,
he's kind of the quiet assassin. The guy's playing lights out, though. Very efficient. I love what he's been able to do from the three-point line. And him and BYU are rolling, like in this Hawaii game. Man, our guards look just incredible.
They did. They looked really good. Now, Hawaii doesn't have a single defender as good as Utah, right? But as anyone on Utah, maybe. But I would say, though, that I think that, yes. I mean, it's nice to see Chase Fisher be able to shoot so well. I mean, he's having a great season, 15 points a game.
43% from the three-point line.
I mean, that's excellent. Collinsworth, he has this thing that on offense that I think is really unique, is he has this thing where he sticks with the play a little longer, so, like, things get a little fuzzy in that paint. So he'll lose the ball or he'll shoot and it doesn't quite go in. And for whatever reason, like, he's always the guy that keeps his cool, gets the ball, comes up, and then there's nobody else near the rim by the time he goes up. He has like one or two of those a game. And they're distinctively Kyle Collins-worthy. Like, I don't know if I remember a guy who was like that, who seemed sort of to know where the ball is, how to grab it, and get it quicker than everybody else, and then get to the rim right away. He really, when there's a scramble for the ball in the paint, he really kind of thrives in that scenario.
And coming into this year, my big question mark is, how long is it going to take Kyle to get back to being his old self?
Not long.
No, I think he's there. Like, you could argue he's played some of his best basketball this year. Like, he's against Hawaii, he was the best player on the floor. I know Haas scored 30, but his triple-double stat line was he was the best player on the floor that night. And so it's like, this guy is ready. If we can get that type of Kyle when Utah comes to town, I really like our odds to knock off a top 15 team.
Well, my thing is I don't see BYU losing if they get performances from the guys that they think ought to do it. And the guy that I think is most inconsistent in terms of, I just don't know how he's going to do against Utah, against number 13 team of the country, at home, packed house. I just don't know what to expect from Chase Fisher. I feel like I know what we're going to get out of Haas. He's probably the most consistent player in the history of the team, yeah. Right? Like, Haas is just, his consistency is like maybe the best part about him. Kyle Collinsworth is going to bring it. Like, he's going to have a nice day. Like, it may not be a triple-double type day, but he's going to get 7-8 rebounds. He's going to get 5 assists, and he's going to score you 12 points. Like, that's going to happen. Like, Chase Fisher, you could talk me into him having 20 points, or you can talk to me into having, like, 5.
And here's some pros and cons on that argument of how well he'll play. That in our big games in Maui, he was there every game in Maui. I felt like he played well San Diego State, which is the biggest game we've played so far this year. You know, and then obviously in Purdue, in another tough loss, he hit some big shots. Where you could make the argument that to be worried is that when we went into a hostile rivalry environment in Logan against Utah State, that's the only time this year he's really laid an egg.
Yeah.
And this is going to, even though this is at home.
Fifth game in 9 days, though, and he's a shooter. That affects shooters more than anyone else.
And there you go. There's another positive argument. I mean, we've had 4 days, you know, in between games here that he should be fresh. But I just, this will be a game to prove, for him to prove to me that in a really tension-packed environment, that he can put up points and hit big shots.
This ends up being the biggest sporting event in the state this year. And yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Anson Winder has been outstanding. And I just want to give a, you know, if there's a player on that bench right now who is frustrated because they're not getting the time they think they deserve, like, you know, and they're feeling a little bit down because they feel like the season's not going the way they thought it might, because for all the reasons that are obvious, like, because they're not playing as much. Like, I think the good example here is Anson Winder, because Winder has paid his dues. He's a senior now. He's really learned the systems. He knows what's going on. He's super reliable and trusted at this point. I do not fear having Anson Winder on the floor one bit. And he's been fantastic. He's been phenomenal. And I really think that that's a good lesson. You know, he came from a well-respected high school. He came from, you know, a good pedigree. And the whole thing is that he could have gotten frustrated and looked for a transfer. And he didn't. And this isn't to say, like, people at transfer are making mistakes. I just think that you can be really benefited if you hang in there with the program. And by the end of it, you know, here he is, and he's, like, super valuable as the sixth man off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaging almost 26 minutes a game this year.
Yeah.
And being very efficient with those minutes. Like, I really feel confident when he does his thing offensively and defensively. When he shoots a three now, I plan on it going in. And he's always been someone that could drive, and he finishes. But the undervalued thing with him that they don't really keep a stat on is how many fouls he draws on the opponents.
Yeah.
He gets the other team's big men in foul trouble with his drives. And that's going to be really important this week against Utah to really make sure that we're taking it to their big men and not letting them dictate how we play offensively.
Let's talk a little bit about I want to talk to you about Luke Worthington for a minute.
Okay. That was not the player I was expecting.
Luke Worthington for a minute. Just I'm interested in Luke because I feel like, you know, I was in the Energy Solutions Arena, and I heard a lot of people like kind of groan like Luke Worthington's back on the floor, right? And I don't get it, Tosh. Can you explain that to me? Why are people?
Well, I mean, the guy only averages 3 points a game, you know, only less than three rebounds, and he started a lot of games. So I understand, but the thing that the fans need to realize is who else is going to – like we have several competent big men. We don't have any wowing big men this year. And so if Worthington's not on the floor, when we put Isaac Nelson and he was starting, well, it's not like we saw really great performances from him. And so
no, well, he was a guy that looked like a shell of himself against Utah State.
I don't know if it was the environment or if when he was just used to going against the team's second-tier bigs.
Yeah, sure. And he's a freshman. Like, I mean, it's his first year.
Yeah.
So, like, I just think, yeah. But no, what I just feel like I'm not watching the same game as other people because I feel like he's really influential on defense.
I do like he plays hard, and he bangs defensively. He makes their big man really work for post position. He brings value. Like, there's Rose is a smart guy. If he's putting him out there, he knows what he's doing.
And the other thing is I was really worried about the offense's ability to score if they weren't in transition, but they've been able to do that. And they've been able to do that with nobody really being able to score in the paint. And that's amazing. They're the number one scoring team without really an option to score within the paint. And I think that that's just an incredible, incredible stat when you think about it. And that speaks so much to two things. One, they've done a tremendous job with this set. It's so unique. I haven't seen a whole lot of people try to run this offense that BYU is running, where it's very heavy with a lot of motion around that three-point line. It's been amazing. The other thing it speaks to is Tyler Haas, the way he's able to score without any spacing on the floor, at least underneath the basket. He's been able to still free himself up enough to get those mid-rangers and threes up. And I just think, you know, he's been incredible. I think the offense has done such a nice job. And they've been in a lot of half court, so to speak, because a lot of people are putting that full court press on to try to slow him down and make him go in a half court.
And last year, two criticisms with the team that have been fixed that I don't think people are talking about. You just addressed one, though, is that last year we looked lost in the half court, and people were bringing up Dave Rice even of, hey, maybe that's why when he left we've gone so bad. We've looked pretty dang good in half court sets this year. The other big one is we lost a lot of games last year because of free throws.
Yeah.
This team this year, people don't commend them when they hit them.
It's easy to
knock them when they're missing them. But this year, as a team, we're shooting 76% from the charity stripe. And that's good enough to win games.
And the key guys are all shooting above 70.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Kyle Collinsworth is shooting 76%.
Yeah.
I would have bet a lot of money that wouldn't have happened.
But under 70?
So far, that is one nice thing he's added to his game, which will really help this team.
Well, and he draws so many fouls. He's such a physical player. That's an important aspect for him. And I also think it speaks a little bit to how well Kyle Collinsworth is performing as a point guard, you know? And it makes you wonder a what if about if Carlino was still on the team, right? Would they be executing well? He's certainly talented. He's doing some nice things at Marquette. The whole thing is, I just think that Collinsworth has done such a good job, and I also think that this set is really working for them. And it teams are starting to see it, right? The screen, the weak side of the the weak side of the play, there'll be a screen off the ball on either Fisher or I've seen them do it with Toulson. I've seen them do it with Haas. And then what they do, they throw this kind of looping pass over the screen, right? They kind of throw it as soon as a person leaves the screen. People are starting to anticipate that. And so they're going to have to add some wrinkles to that set. But one third of the season through, there's not much else you can say. I mean, they haven't lost in regulation. They've been right there against very good teams. And I expect the same thing Wednesday night when they play the University of Utah.
The Utes are dang good, though. There's no getting around that. They've got like a real squad that could put several guys that could play professionally from it. I'm not saying necessarily NBA, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if a couple of these guys play in the NBA. But they've got some real depth. There's a reason they're ranked number 13 in all of the land. You know, but their team, what most people would point to is really DeLon Wright.
Sure.
He's their guy that makes their team go.
He's their Kyle Collinsworth.
Yeah.
He does everything out there for them. He's big. He's athletic. He plays a lot of minutes, and he scores, rebounds, and assists.
And he can score in every way. I mean, he shoots almost 47% from threes. He can drive. He has a mid-range jump shot. He's a great, great player. Their other guy, the foreigner, I don't know,
Jacob. We'll just call him Jacob. Jacob Poeltl.
That guy can... He averages a double-double.
Yeah, he's from Austria.
And he is a defensive beast.
12-10.
3 blocks per game.
One thing, though. Can't play him at the end of the game. If it's close, they got to pull Jacob Poeltl out. If not, you got to hack a Poeltl. Hack a Poeltl. 47.8% from the free throw line. 100% of the time. You got to do that considering DeLon Wright. 46% from three. Jordan Loveridge, 50% from three. Brandon Taylor, 40% from three. Dakari Tucker, 46%. Kenneth Ogbe, 47% from three. Kyle Kuzma, right? 45%, right, from three. Brackett Chapman, 50% from three. Isaiah Wright, 47.5% from three. These guys are... The guys that shoot their threes are all getting buckets.
It's weird they don't score more points because they don't take that many shots, obviously, because percentage-wise, these guys can light it up. That also...
Does that make you nervous? Because I feel like BYU's defense gives up threes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they do. Like, yeah. They give up threes.
And if you remember last year's game, that's what happened. In the first 10 minutes... We were giving up wide open shots, and they were hitting them all. And then that was the game. We were out of the game in the first few minutes because we gave these guys open looks, and they knocked down every one of them.
The other thing I remember is that in the first 8.5 minutes, Tyler Haas did not get a used possession. Okay, it was Carlino time at the beginning of the last year, and they went to Carlino a bunch, and they went to Collinsworth got a lot of work and Mika got some work. Haas, in the first 8.5 minutes, never used an offensive possession against the Utah last year. And so that won't happen this year. But I do not think that, there's no way to say that they won't hit a bunch of threes again this year. But you're right. Like, by the time it was 6 minutes in, before Haas ever got a chance to put an influence on the game was over. Cougars were down by 15 or 20. And so they can't let the game get away from them. And I think that that'll be an important part of having the game in Provo. A lot of teams struggle with the dimensions within their arena. You know, for whatever reason, people don't seem to shoot as well in the Marriott Center.
Yeah.
And beyond that, I think any momentum Utah gets, hopefully that the sellout crowd in the Marriott Center. And by the way, I think it's more fun to be in the Marriott Center than maybe any other venue I've been in when it's a full house with an invested crowd.
Oh, yeah.
It's an amazing building.
Yeah, some of my favorite sports fans' moments of my life, Marriott Center in a big game. That place is electric with the student section doing their thing. I think even BYU marketing does a good presentation on these big games.
Sure,
like,
yeah. Yep. So I just think, though, that home crowd will be very involved. It will be hard for them to get on a roll like that. I just don't see that momentum of like, okay, we're just hitting threes like crazy. I don't see that happening again with Utah, but they certainly have the skill to get that done. And with all that danger around the perimeter, we've already mentioned him, but Jacob Poeltl obviously is a huge threat underneath the basket.
Foul that guy. He shoots 74% on all of his shots. Don't give him easy buckets. Foul him. Make him go to the free throw line where he shoots under 50% and earn it that way.
Where his Vienna sausage fingers.
You know,
can't find the shot from the free throw line.
A matchup I'm excited to see is Bronson Cafusi against him. I want Bronson to foul out. Like, put him in, have him play tough D, tell him, hey, you better come back to this bench with five fouls. Make that guy earn it from the line and see if they can beat us that way.
The one advantage, though, is BYU did seem to have some success against skilled seven-footers when they played Purdue.
Yep.
Now, they didn't do great against them. But they did slow him down a little bit, and they got him in foul trouble. Yeah, but those are the main things that I would kind of address. I do think that at least they have some experience taking on a seven footer, and I think that'll be a really interesting battle.
We'll do the predictions for this week's games here at the end of the show. The game that I think we also need to talk about is the Weber State game that's coming up this weekend. You know, Weber's been a team that has knocked off some of its bigger in-state opponents in years past. I'm not sure, though, that this year that they've got the firepower to do that. They're struggling. Like, they're
undefeated at home, though, Tosh, 2-0.
Uh-huh, there you go.
It's in Ogden, the event center.
They haven't beat anybody good. They've lost to They've lost to some okay teams.
Potential hangover game, though. Potential hangover game for BYU.
And in most years, I would say, yeah, you need to fear Weber State. But their wins, they're squeaking out against teams that I've never even heard of. And, well, no, Oral Roberts. They have some good years. I've heard of old Oral Roberts out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. But that being said,
they beat Nevada. Nevada's not bad.
They're not good, though.
Okay, all right. Presbyterian, they got a win over Presbyterian.
They got,
but they did lose to Texas Arlington.
Yeah,
away from home.
And Utah State, Utah State's down.
Yeah, okay. So Weber State's 3-4. Ballin Boy is sort of their main guy, and he's a post presence as well.
Yeah, and yeah, that guy, he's averaging a double double as well. Their guards, it seems like, are the ones that are letting them down.
They don't score well, 62 points per game, and they also struggle a little bit with defense. You know, they give up points that way too. They're giving up more points on average than they are scoring on average.
They only shoot 40% from the floor.
Yeah. So that just speaks to they're struggling to get shots off. That's not a team that's tough to defend necessarily, but the D can be a little bit tough of a building. It's a free game for their students.
Really,
they've made it free.
It'll be well attended. BYU comes to town. It'll be well attended.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think we can call it on that one. I just think even though unless there's a hangover, right, and there is going to be a couple nights this year where the shots just aren't falling. Like, they were lucky to escape in Utah State. The shots definitely were not falling.
Yeah.
And they were able to make it work for them. But there's going to be a game where the shots just don't go in, you know. And so much of what BYU is predicated on is making shots because they're not winning games by defense. That's not happening, right? So, like, I just think that under that circumstance, it'll be interesting. There may be a game where they're going to get sniped by a team or two because they don't shoot well. And so if BYU shoots even average, I think they should be okay against Weber State. And Dave Rose isn't going to let their intensity slip. I feel like they're going to play hard.
Okay, so now let's go just look at this week. If we beat Utah and Weber, number 13 Utah, yeah. Are we ranked when the next polls come out?
Maybe so. we're at least receiving votes.
I think we could squeak in the, you know, the 25 sort of spot. Utah has gained the nation's respect, especially with that win against Wichita State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously they're 13th. If you beat
Wichita's like first regular season loss in forever, right?
I feel if we can become, you know, 9-2 with a win against a top 15 team, then I think we're there. But should be fun. Okay, so now let's should we roll the predictions?
Well, I think that's a good way to go with going forward. So, what do you think? DeLon Wright versus Collinsworth, you know, two really skilled guards, about
very
the same.
Like, even though they both fill the stats, they're very different style of play. Like, and just DeLon works a lot more of quickness, where Collinsworth, I don't know how to describe him other than he's quick enough, but that guy just gets wherever he wants to get on the court. So it'll be fun to see who wins that battle.
But you got to say maybe slight edge, DeLon?
Yeah.
Or do you want to say push?
I say push.
Okay, because it's at home.
Yeah. And because Kyle's coming off such a fantastic game.
Haas versus Loveridge, and I know he's had some injury issues, Loveridge.
Yeah,
but
he's missed a few games.
But I think he will play. Haas versus Loveridge. Loveridge is a very good defender.
I feel like if I wasn't a BYU podcaster, I would be tempted to say push because of Loveridge's defense and rebounding.
And he can score.
Yeah.
He's going to score points.
I mean, he's shooting.
But Haas is going to outscore.
I'm going to go Haas. It's closer than BYU fans want to admit, but I think also because Loveridge is coming off injury, Haas will have a better game.
Podol versus Worthington? Or, sorry, Worthkafu Austin.
Podol.
Okay.
Beats all three in their stats. You combine them all.
Okay, so... So then there's other things, though, like Isaiah Wright has played quite a bit this year. But that's one of the things that I think Utah's off guard. That's a big advantage, right, for BYU at this point is Chase Fisher is going to get the best of Wright, Isaiah Wright.
And I'd hope that Anson Winder would have a better game than anyone that's coming off of their bench. But they're fairly deep, but... Anson has not laid an egg yet. Like, the guy just comes in, does his thing. Rose gives him a lot of minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, the other spot is of course, Reyes versus Austin. Slight edge to Reyes, probably.
Yeah. I mean, Austin, he took a big step up, I felt like, last year. And I feel like I was hoping he'd take another step like that. I'm not a big Austin basher. He is what he is. Offensively, we know what we're getting. He's a mm-hmm. decent rebounder. But he hasn't improved in my eyes over last year. I think that we will probably lose that battle of the four spot.
They've got a lot of very good guards. And the one thing that they have, BYU doesn't have, is some skill under the hoop. I think this could be a very difficult game. But how much do you credit? So how much is home court really worth? Like when a team's just better, they're going to win on a road, no matter how good that home court is. Like, BYU is just better than Utah State this year.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to win the road. But I don't know that the gap between these two teams, it's certainly not the gap between Utah State and BYU.
No.
It's closer.
And so there's a couple other dynamics. Last year, I feel like everybody, including the players, underestimated Utah. Like, we had beat them
so many times in a row.
So many times in a row. They end up being a good team, but at that point, no one thought they were a good team. They were still giving free tickets away.
They grew into the team. By the end of the year last year, they grew into that team.
And the BYU was kind of their coming out party of, hey, we're for real. This year, no one's overlooking Utah. That's in, I think, BYU's favor. But back to you, sorry, to answer your question of the home court, the reason I think home court's a big deal, I look at the last couple years when, you know, Gonzaga's been a better team than us, and we still every year seem to steal one at home from those guys. And so
it matters.
It does. The refs are influenced by it slightly. The players, especially at this age, seem to be rattled slash pumped up more by crowd than at the higher levels.
A lot of important freshmen on both teams. Some good senior leaders, both teams. It's going to be good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Nope.
What are the odds BYU blows them out?
Low.
Very low. What are the odds Utah blows out BYU?
I think slightly higher than BYU blowing out Utah, but still low.
Are you going to take the Utes?
Are
you afraid of Dallin Baczynski?
Okay, so we're going to
Seven-footer, 265 pounds. Love to see Corbin try to deal with him.
Here's my prediction.
Because that's who they bring in when Poeltl goes off the floor,
yeah.
Right? I mean.
No, they're deep. Here's my prediction. Overtime game.
Oh, man.
BYU loses 83-81.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't like BYU in overtime. Just generally speaking, I don't.
And I hate to pick the Utes. I mean, and that's for dang sure. But they're really good, and until BYU wins a really close game against a good team, I can't pick them to do it. Like, this team, I think we're good. I think that we're going to have a better season this year than we did last year. I'm still thinking we win a tournament game. All that being said, this Ute squad is a top 15 nationally. We'll play them tough, and we'll lose at the end like we've done the last several times. I really hope I'm wrong and that BYU can take the next step, but that's what my mind is telling me.
What do you got? Last year when they played Iowa State came in ranked 21st in the country,
mm-hmm.
had several very good players on their team. Iowa State came away with a 90-88 victory. And I think if I remember at the time, the last time BYU beat a ranked opponent at home in non-conference play was like 88.
Really?
Yeah. If I do recall. So, been a long time since BYU's been able to win one of these games where this has happened. I think it all relies on Tyler Hawes being able to continue to score at his crazy efficient clip. And I think the other thing, too, is his full court pressure, you know, is really going to – like, that makes me nervous every time. Like, it's just every time before they cross the half line, like, yeah. I'm just sweating it out the whole time. Like, and I don't know why I don't trust Kyle as much as I should.
Well,
I know.
Year.
Hey, yeah. if they've handled it just fine, but it for whatever reason, that scares me. So I just think that one of the things that will play in, I just think, let's go role reversal. It's time. Cougars are going to have a really hot shooting game. And if they shoot well, I think they're going to win. So I'll predict a good shooting game out of the Cougars gets them out in front, and then the crowd will carry the day. And so that's what I'll go. And so in a weird reversal, you'll be the one who's pessimistic, and I will be the one who's optimistic about this. I'll take the Cougars, and I'll take them at like 92 points because they're going to have to shoot well. They're going to have to score like
and
that.
Utah scores heavily.
Utah, like 86.
All right. I hope you're right, buddy.
Okay. Any questions for the show? CougarCast@gmail.com. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter. And the biggest thing, if you want to get us something for Christmas this year, and why don't you? We spend an hour talking into a microphone.
Yeah.
You know, that Christmas gift can be really simple. Just go on iTunes. Give us a rating. It helps us. That actually does seem to matter a little bit. Or actually, you know what? Let's say you can't do that. All right? For whatever reason, you don't know how to do it. You don't want to make an iTunes account. I get all that. Right? Tell a friend. Just tell one other person out there that you're listening to our show.
I think, you know, the Christmas, the picture and the card that you sent out, just in your description about your family, just throw in there under the dad section.
Love it.
Big lover of CougarCast.
Listens to CougarCast.
This year has been the best year of his life because he's been listening to CougarCast. If you can't do the iTunes thing, that's also an acceptable.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Compromise.
But yeah, let us know about those things. And I'll tell you what, though, the interactions I've had with fans throughout the year has been very pleasant, very cool. Hasn't happened a bunch, right? But it has happened a few times. Had one guy who said that he thought I was you, Tosh. He thought I was you. He said, he's like, I find myself agreeing so much with what you are, but I don't understand why that other guy, he's so negative, and beyond that, he doesn't have as cool of a name as you, right?
That's funny.
And I was like, oh, no, that's Tosh.
That is funny.
You got the wrong guy. But yes. So anyway, but yes, it's been very cool. And anytime we run into fans or have a chance to talk to people who listen to the show or email us, it's very nice. And that's become to be as expected. Interactions with fans is as expected as a paycheck for an employee at Sammy's.
All right. Hopefully this week is a big one. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!